Welcome to the Psychology World podcast. I'm Matt Connor Whiteley, bringing you psychology news and easy to understand and engaging psychology facts. For more information and the backlist episode show notes and more information on psychology topics, please go to connorwhiteley.net and I hope you enjoy the show. Everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of the Psychology World podcast with me, Conor Whiteley, and today's episode is on misconceptions about sexual attraction between men and women, and it's the 26th of June 2020 as I record this. So I really do want to get into the psychology news section because the British Psychological Society Research Digest has given us lots of amazing, well, very interesting studies to talk about. So let's dive into it. So heavy coffee drinkers want coffee a lot more than they actually think. And as a coffee drinker, I'm very interested in this one. So this is what the article says, well, the email. If I had to choose between giving up alcohol or coffee, it would have to be alcohol. I just love coffee too much. But do I really? Or do I just want it? Which is different. Despite being the most widely used psychoactive drug in the world, there's an ongoing debate about just how addictive caffeine is. It does share some of the criteria for dependency. Regular users who skip their morning cup will often report withdrawal symptoms such as headaches. Caffeine use disorder is even being discussed as potential inclusion in the next edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. But is it really addictive in the same fundamental way as harder drugs like cocaine? A new paper suggests that it is. Researchers have found that heavy coffee drinkers seem to want coffee a lot more than they actually like it. The implication is that they drink it mostly or entirely to feed their addiction, rather than for pleasure. Okay, now this is quite an interesting study because as a coffee drinker, I'm not really that sure about it because, and of course I'm just talking about my own personal experience, but to be honest, I drink it because I like it. Yeah, because they're quite funny. If it's really bad coffee, I really don't drink it, to be honest, because why would I drink it? Why, well, God, this is going to make me sound like such a snob now, but I only like good coffee. No, and to be honest, I personally don't drink it to feed an addiction because I'm not addicted to coffee. So, I don't know, for me, it's more about pleasure, but again, it's just my own egg experience. I'm sure there's lots of people who do get addicted to it. And also, coffee doesn't really affect me, but the caffeine in it. So, that's always an interesting thought. So, the next one is for political candidates, making jokes online might backfire. And I think the first one is actually quite obvious because, well, the problem with online and reading something online is that there's no context. Because if you tell a joke in person with your voice, then there are other stuff like body language and the tone of voice that people can see if it's a joke. So let's actually, well, let's read the actual article. Over the last few years, memes have played an increasingly important part of the online political discussion. In 2016, the Washington Post dubbed the 2016 presidential election the most memed election in US history, and CNN has already christened the 2020 race the meme election. But politicians may want to pause for thought before they send that jokey tweet. New research suggests that humour doesn't always go down well online, and this can impact what voters think of particular candidates and potentially how they vote. And it's basically for the exact same reason that I just said. So, the online is very. It is very difficult being online sometimes, so that's food for thought. And I think if this goes for anyone, to be honest, I think we all just need to be careful what we post because we might think it's funny, but other people might not. Same definitely goes for text messages. I can tell you that from personal experience. So school-aged children, but not preschoolers, understand that divulging a friend's secret could damage the friendship. How many secrets have your friends shared with you? The answer could reveal a lot about your relationship. Not only do we share people we're close to, but swapping secrets strengthens relationships. And I think we all know that, to be honest. And that is a really important factor. Like, if you want to improve your friendship, tell them a secret. I know from personal experience that this has really helped. However, as we also all know, discovering that a friend has gone on to share your secret can seriously damage your friendship. Oh, it really can, it really can. Secrets then have an important role in our social lives, but at what age do we become aware of this? A new study suggests that it would be unwise to trust a 4-year-old with any kind of secret, but with an 8-year-old, we're much more likely to be safe. That I actually think is quite interesting because, well, we all know the major difference according to a Piaget who did the cognitive development and egocentrism. Completely said that wrong, but oh well. And in terms of like developmentally, a 4-year-old is completely different to an 8-year-old. So it's not too surprising. To be honest, I wouldn't trust any child with a secret. But that's just my opinion. We do one more because there's like 5 here and I've already done 3. So the editor's pick: to boost your self-esteem, write about chapters of your life. And yeah, so this was done on Thursday the 25th. So yesterday, which would have been the 24th of June 2020, was National Writing Day, an apt time to revise this piece from last year on the psychological benefits of writing about your life. So much of what's happened to us in life is random. We are pawns at the mercy of Lady Luck to take ownership of our experiences and exert a feeling of control over our future. We tell stories about ourselves that weave meaning and continuance into our personal identity. Of course, some of these tell stories more implicitly than others. One person's narrative identity might be a barely formed story at the edge of their consciousness, whereas another might literally write about their past and future in a diary or memoir. Intriguingly, there's some evidence that promoting people to reflect and tell their life could be psychologically beneficial. And to be honest, like, this new section might as well be a personal one because I've shared a few personal things here. From my past, we all have a past. And I can say from personal experience that writing about a tragic event and a series of unfortunate events can actually be really, really beneficial, because doing that really helped me about a particular event. So, and I'm pretty sure I've said this before on the podcast that, well, I would just try it, to be honest, if I was you. So that's the end of the psychology news section. Let's move on to today's personal update. Moving on to the personal update. So this will be a very quick personal update just to update you on a few things. So for this week, I've been focusing on my writer's band, but enough of that. Yes, so the Abnormal Psychology book, second edition audiobook is what I actually should have said, is now being released. So if you go on to Kobo, Amazon, it will not be released on for a little while because their distribution network's awful, and Google Play and some other places that the book will be available on there in audiobook format. And I really like it, to be honest, because it's interesting, engaging, full of information that you should all find it useful. And I narrate it, so if you like the sound of my voice, and if you like the podcast, then just imagine a more professional version, and that's the audiobook for you. Plus, if you've requested from your local library, then you can get it for free. And building upon what I was saying like last week about the psychology of stress video, I have now added it to the website. So if you go to connorwhiteley.net/books, and if you scroll down to the middle of the page, then you can find the amazing TED Talk that I was talking about. So this TED Talk is about how to make stress your friend, and I loved it. To be honest, it changed my life, and when you watch it, you will be amazed, because it's such a good video, and it really does make you question how you and how society sees their stress. And to be honest, the studies she uses to back up her arguments are quite stunning. So I highly, highly recommend that. So go to connorwhiteley.net/books, and the video will be there on the page for you. And then the final one is that for the past 2 weeks, if you've looked at the podcast episode description on your podcast app, then you will see a link to a Patreon page. And if you want to support the show personally for just a couple of dollars a month, and there's a range of tiers, and if you want to get tons of bonuses, basically a tons of free content, then I would definitely recommend you check that out at Patreon at patreon.com/ConnorWhiteley, patreon.com/ConnorWhiteley, and you'll just get tons of free content if you support the show. So I very much appreciate it. Yes, and then the Patreon support will sponsor my time, and it will work in conjunction to the book that I promote. Speaking of which, the book that I want to highlight today is What is a Psychology? And this is a free ebook that is available from all major ebook platforms such as Kobo, Google Play, Amazon, and more. Yes, so the book is What is Psychology? So this is the description. What is psychology? What areas of human behaviour does psychology cover? What approaches are there to human behaviour? If you want to find out the answer to any of these questions and more, then this is the book for you, as you will learn about what psychology is, the five approaches to human behaviour, and you'll have an introduction to the nine subfields of psychology. By the end of this book, you will have a great introduction to psychology, as you'll be able to explain what psychology in those, and you'll have the knowledge of other sub-areas of psychology to look at your favourite topic in more depth. If you like this book, then you will love my other books, such as Social Cultural Psychology, 2nd edition, and Abnormal Psychology, 2nd edition. Yes, and then this book basically might provide you an introduction to everything that you want to know about psychology. So this is a free book, and it's called What is a Psychology? Available from all major ebook retailers. And of course, you can always get it for free at your local library. So now that we've done the personal update, let's move on to the content part of today's episode. So moving on to the content part of today's episode, we're going to be talking about the misconceptions between the genders, and I am making up this title as I go along, and then how they interpret attraction, because to put it quite bluntly and quite in a generalised way, men tend to believe that women are more into them than they actually are, but women tend to believe men are less interested in them than the men actually are. And of course, we're just looking at heterosexuals here, because that's what the article that inspired this episode was on, the research paper was. So just as a critical thinking to this episode, cannot apply today's content to homosexuals, whether they be male on male or female on female. So moving on to the content of the actual episode. So research published in the Journal of Psychological Science in January 2020, Lee and all 2020, found that there are two main factors for why this perception exists, or why this misconception exists. And we're going to be taking it from the men's point of view, because it's the easiest to explain. But you can quite easily adapt this to the female perspective as well. So the first factor is men's own sexual interest, because men tend to believe that they're into the women sexually, like quite a bit. Then they also believe that the women are also into them quite a bit, which, let's face it, is probably not right. And then if you were to turn this on its head, overall, the researchers said men have projected their own feelings of a sexual interest onto the partner. And then I'm just realising how quick of an episode this is actually going to be. But the second stage is also about sociosexual orientation, which I think is quite weird, which is actually quite a weird term. And this is nothing to do with sexual orientation, it's just sociosexual orientation. So, and to put it broadly, men tend to have unrestricted or high sexual social orientation, meaning that they're more open to having uncommitted and casual sex, with a higher perception that the women are more into them. Yes, whereas women tend to have more restricted social sexual orientation, meaning that they're less open to casual sex because that, and they want to commit more, which I think is quite, well, I think you can see that quite a bit in our society, because I remember having a conversation with my sixth form or high school teacher once about it, and you can really, to put it overly simply, you can say that men prefer that when men have sex, it's about biology, but for when women have sex, it's about their emotions. Is that one way to put it? And then what the article concluded, in which this own episode is concluding, is that these biases to these misconceptions that men and women believe, they're actually down to the gender's own sexual strategy for reproducing. For example, men, they tend to, well, evolutionarily speaking, like they tend to mate with lots of people, meaning that if they got attached to all of them, that'd be very messy and quite bad for evolution because they wouldn't populate as many children, meaning that the species could be at risk. So makes it important, if you can say that men are a lot more open to casual and uncommitted sex, whereas women, because they need to look after the children, I don't know, this is a bit of a random point, then they need to be more committed to the children and the partner. So I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Have a great day, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you found it useful and engaging. Well, if you want the show notes, backlist episodes, and more information on psychological topics, please check out connorwhiteley.net. And if you want to get a free book, as well as other news about writing and psychology, then please check out. Yeah, but then please sign up for my newsletter at connorwhiteley.net. Have a great week, everyone.